Pretty this morning as we have focused on the wonderful grace of our Lord and celebrating His goodness to us. We continue to worship Him as we open up our hearts and our ears to listen to what He would have to say to us. So take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Galatians in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6. For those of you who have been here the last few weeks, you know that we were focusing on the theme of tithing. 2 weeks ago we had Flo Nichols' testimony. Last week we had teaching on it from Malachi and other passages. After the service last week, somebody came to me and said, "Pastor, I'm quite impressed that you had the courage to preach that in your own congregation." And I said, "Why does that surprise you?" And they said, "Well, many pastors wouldn't dare to do that." And I thought, "Why?" I said, "Well, probably get too much flack or too much difficulty." And as I thought about it, I realized for any pastor to withhold that information from his congregation, the pastor has to have a wrong understanding of God's Word. Dear friends, the reason I presented that boldly to you last week was not because I felt I was inflicting you with something. I did it because I want you blessed. Amen? That's why I presented it. And that's why we're continuing on in the theme of stewardship. God's truth is not to limit or to hurt or to wound or to put down His people. God's truth is to liberate us into all that He created us for. Do you believe that? Well, God, there's three people on that one. Do you believe that? I mean, the Bible says, "He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." If you don't believe that, friends, why even read the Bible? God is interested in you. He wants to bless you. And that's why we're discovering His principles and His truth. So with that as a backdrop, let's go, and we're going to jump in again, carry on this theme of stewardship, and hear what God would say to us. See, today we're going to look at another very, very important law that comes from the Scriptures and principles that come out from that law. I'm referring to the law of the harvest. And if you have your Bibles, let's look at Galatians 6. I'll be reading verses 7 through 10. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Lord God, we ask that as we once again open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits to hear Your voice, to hear You speak to us through Your Word, we pray, Lord, that the seed of Your truth will find fertile soil in our hearts, and that it will sprout and grow and produce what You designed it to do. Speak to us, Lord, and enable us to go from here not just with more knowledge, but with the intent to follow it and obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love Egypt. I wouldn't have stayed here this long if I didn't. I continue to enjoy it, but I must admit one of the favorite things I do in Egypt is drive away from Cairo. You got up this morning, did you see the air? More like, did you taste the air? It was thick and kind of yucky and a lot of dust particles in it. And I don't know, sometimes I wonder what's happening to our lungs. I love to get out of here off into the areas where there's very little, if any, pollution. And I must admit, I love to get to the farm areas. I love to drive out to the Delta or down to some of the areas, the canals, where there's farmers on either side. And for me, that's just, I just feel a newness of life come to me. I guess somebody once said you can take the boy off the farm, but you can never take the farm out of the boy. Well, you know my colors. I grew up in a farm in southern Saskatchewan, Canada, and I have such fond memories of my farm life growing up as a boy. I must admit one of the favorite times of year for me was harvest time. In the springtime, we'd endure the long winters of Canada, and then come springtime, we would plant seed. Mom would plant fruits or vegetables in the garden, and Dad would plant the grains in the field. And then we would work through the summer for different odd jobs and whatever, and then by mid-August, it was harvest time. And even as a kid, I used to love going with Dad to to swath the fields, to make bales or whatever, and to combine. I remember riding with my dad in the combine and watching that grain just come out of the funnel into the hopper, into the bin. And then we take that and into the trucks, and from the trucks into town to the elevators and sell it. And there was a euphoria. There was a richness, a delight about harvest season. Perhaps the same kind of thrill that some of you get at the end of the month after your hard month of labor and you get that paycheck. You know how good that feels? Or perhaps it's like the mother who, after 15 hours of hard labor, is able to hold that beautiful baby in her arms. Joy, harvest season, production time. There's a thrill, there's a euphoria about that. Never did I realize as a kid that what I was learning on the farm, what I was observing, would so shape my life and would so impact my ministry and would be so thoroughly proliferated throughout the scriptures. It's there. What I'm speaking of is the law of the harvest. In this passage this morning, we see four principles of the law of the harvest that I'm convinced not only govern God's universe and His world and your life and mine and our finances, but laws that if we put into practice, we'll be able to experience blessing like you and I haven't begun to tap, as I've begun to imagine. Go with me there and look at them well. The first one, found in verse 7, is that we reap what we sow. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, I have never seen parsley growing in the cucumber patch or potatoes in the cornfield. It just doesn't happen. If you plant wheat, you get wheat. You don't get oats or flax or barley. If you plant barley, you don't get the other grains. The grains produce their like kind. That's just the way it is. And what is true for plants is equally true for people. Whatever you are reaping in your life today, and you are, whatever you are reaping in your life, in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, in your relationships, in your finances, in any area of your life, whatever you are reaping today results from what you have been sowing in your life in the past. Pastor Bill and I were commiserating with each other this week. We were complaining about our aches and pains, and we thought back to our young years when he used to play rugby in Australia and I used to play ice hockey and gridiron football in Canada. And we realized that in our youth, in these sports, they're both bang, 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 bang. We were planting body smashes is what we were doing. Is it any wonder that today we are reaping sore joints and awful pain in our muscles? We reap what we sow. It's true in the physical realm. It's true in the grain realm. It's true in every area of life. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 22:8. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble. Hosea 8:7. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Hosea 10:13. You have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception. Job 4:8. Those who plan evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Proverbs 30, verse 33, and this is kind of an image verse here. Think of it. As churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. Proverbs 11:18. He who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. James 3:18. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. And then our verse today, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. I don't know what your occupation is, dear friend, but I can guarantee you that every single one of us, in the truest sense, is a farmer. Every one of us are planting. We are sowing constantly. We sow a thought, and we reap an action. We sow an action, and we reap a habit. We sow a habit, and we reap a lifestyle. We sow a lifestyle, and we reap a destiny. We reap what we sow. We plant thoughts in our head and attitudes in our heart by what we watch on TV or in the movies or in videos, by what we read, by what we listen to, by who we listen to. We plant actions in accordance with our priorities, our schedules, and our habits. Now this past week, the last 7 days of your life were on video, and we plugged it in and watched it. What would we see you planting? And in what fields would we see you planting? You have been doing it, because we are all planting every day of our lives. Some will say when you look back at this week and what you did with your time and your talents and your treasures and your thoughts and your relationships, you may say, well, you know what? Don't give me any of this, Pastor. It doesn't really matter what I did. It doesn't matter that I spent some of my time doing that, or some of my talents, my God-given talents, working on this thing, or some of my money for that I really don't want you to know about. It doesn't really matter. I can do whatever I want, and I can do it, quite frankly, without consequences. I can get away with it. I haven't been caught yet, and I don't intend to be caught. I've figured out the system. It's going to be different for me. And God says, you fool, do not be deceived. Not God will not. God cannot be mocked. Why? Because whatever a man sows, he reaps. Principle number one. Graveyards are filled with those who disregarded the laws of the highway. Hospitals and divorce courts are full of people who disregard God's laws for sex. And hell is going to be filled with people who disregard God's law of the harvest. We reap what we sow. Second principle here, found in verse 8. We reap not only what we sow, we reap more than we sow. Look at verse 8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, if you ever watched anybody plant a seed, you know that nobody in their right mind would take a seed, whether it's a pea or a corn or a wheat or whatever, nobody would plant a seed in the ground, water it, get sunshine on it, fertilize it, with the greatest hope that that seed would grow up to produce one seed. Who in their right mind would ever do that? Nobody. The reason you plant the seed is to multiply, to grow, to produce more. Matthew 13:8 said, seed, Jesus using the parable of the seed, he said, some seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100 or 30 or 60 times what was sown. Multiplication. But remember those terms, 100, 30, and 60. A friend of mine in Canada, went to the church he pastored just north of Toronto there for a while. This guy's a commercial farmer. He has a very large farm north of Toronto. He told me that if he plants 2 bushels of wheat per acre, he can harvest about 100 bushels of wheat per acre. That's a 50-fold increase, or 5,000% increase. He said, if I plant a half bushel of soybean per acre, I can harvest between 50 and 60 bushels per acre. That's 100 to 120 fold, or 10,000 to 12,000% increase. He said, if I plant a third bushel per acre of corn, I can harvest between 80 and 100 bushels per acre. That's 240 to 300 fold, or 24,000 to 30,000% increase. The record for corn, he told me, is 320 bushels per acre, which would be 960-fold, or 96,000% increase. That's the kind of math that God uses. That's the kind of math that God built into the agricultural system. That's the law of the harvest. And that's the law that God said He wants to govern our lives with. So next time you take a bite of a nice juicy cob of corn, remember that that cob and perhaps 2 or 3 others came from one little kernel that was planted in the ground. Remember, the law of the harvest. We plant not just what we reap not just what we sow, but we reap more than we sow. God is saying, I intend to multiply my seed magnificently. That's my plan. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give, and it will be given unto you. And then he describes how. He said, a good measure, not a bad measure, a good measure. Now, see the imagery here. A good measure, pressed down, making sure it's packed in there, shaken together, making sure all the air pockets are out, and still running over. He said, this is how it will be poured into your lap. And then the reason? For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Do you hear that? The measure you use to plant determines the measure by which you harvest. I heard about two boys who went down to the grocery store, and they were in the bulk food section, and there was a big bin of peanuts there, and these boys were just so hungry, they hadn't had peanuts for a while, they were looking and they were kind of salivating, wishing they could have peanuts. The grocer came by and noticed the boys, and he said, would you guys like some peanuts? And he said, oh, would we like some peanuts? And so he said, okay, you can have a handful. So one boy reached in and thank you, and he took a handful of peanuts and walked away, and he started to crack one and eat, and the other boy just kind of stood there. And the grocer said, you can have a handful of peanuts. He just stood there. And his friend said, stupid, he said you can have some peanuts. Take some peanuts. He just stood there. So the grocer, thinking he was a little shy, reached in, grabbed some peanuts, gave them to the boy. The boys walked out of the store happy that they got peanuts. And his friend said, you stupid idiot, don't you realize? He said you could take some peanuts. Why didn't you take them? And the other boy says, you think I'm stupid? You're stupid. He's got bigger hands than I do. What measure are you using when you plant? What measure are you using when you give? You know, some of you are still stuck from last week on that whole thing of, should I tithe on the net or on the gross? You're right, you're stuck there. It's like a farmer saying, should I plant 10 seeds? Oh no, do I have to plant 12? What you plant determines how much you're going to harvest. Do you see it, friends? It's not a legalistic rule saying, God, I gotta plant this much. God is saying the law of the harvest functions whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not. It's the way I've set up my universe. Plant! Because what you plant, you will reap not just what you sow, you will reap more than you sow. Do you hear the good news? That's the law of the harvest. And so when you give to God, do you use a thimble? A cup? A shovel or a truckload? What measure do you use? Jesus said, the measure you use will be the measure by which you are blessed. Because what you plant, God will multiply. In Matthew 19:29, he said, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or children, these are great sacrifices, lots of planting, or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much in this life and will inherit eternal life. 100-fold. Dear friends, that's 10,000% increase. And then eternal life. Some of you guys women have invested money in the stock market or in other businesses. What do you get? The bank right now at 2.5%? You get a good stock really turning a profit these days? It's maybe just it's holding its own or maybe squeaking 5% per annum? 10, 20? What if you score 50% per annum? God says my baseline is 10,000% increase. Do you hear it? That's God says my baseline. I believe in the principle of multiplication because that's how I've set up my universe. Thank you very much. God says. He's the one who knows how to multiply magnificently. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6-11, Paul said, remember this. Why did he have to say that? Probably because we forget. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is, and get this, Listen to all the superlatives in this verse. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Do you hear it? As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The law of the harvest at work. The more we sow to the Spirit, the more the Lord will give us to keep sowing to the Spirit. Why? Because if I give you a dime to invest, and you invest it, plant it, and produce a dollar, I'm going to say, you know what? You're a pretty good deal. You're a pretty good businessman. I think I'll give you a dollar. You take that dollar and plant it and bring $10, I'm going to say, this person is a good business person. I'm going to give them $100. You plant that $100 and come back with $1,000, I'm going to say, I've got a winner. Take $1,000,000. But if I give you a dime or a dollar and you take it and bury it in the ground or take it home and spend it all on yourself, then I come back and say, how'd you do? And you go, well, the candy was fun. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm going to give another dollar. God is saying, if you take the seed that I've entrusted to you and plant it for my kingdom and let it grow, I will help it grow. Let it grow. If I can see that you're faithful with 10 seeds, I'll give you 12 seeds. I'll give you 15 seeds. I'll continue to pour into your store of seed so that you have more and more and more to plant for the seeds of righteousness. That makes sense, doesn't it, folks? Good morning. It makes sense. That's the way God operates. I have a question, though. If this is true, why do we as Christians have so much hesitancy and trouble putting into practice? We all know, I'm sure every single person here this morning would say, you know what, if I stop and think about it, it makes sense. Obviously, it makes sense with grain. Makes sense based on what God has told us. Makes sense throughout history. If we know it, why do we have such trouble taking the step and doing it? Could it be because of the third principle found in this passage? Look at verse 9. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The third principle of the harvest is that not only do we reap what we sow, not only do we reap more than we sow, but we reap in a different season than we sow. And that's where a lot of us get hung up. We want to plant and have it this afternoon with all of its bounty. We want instant gratification. We don't want to wait for the blessings of God. We want it all now. Many well-intentioned Christian businessmen I know are severely tempted to use the ungodly practices of this world in their business ventures. Many of them, both in Canada and here, have said to me, Dave, you don't understand business. You don't understand. We are in a dog-eat-dog world. We are in a world where people are fraudulent, where they're undercutting, where they're doing horrible things, where they're just... And if we don't participate in those practices, we can't get ahead. And it's almost like a lot of Christians compartmentalize. They say, okay, I love Jesus, I love His Word, I'll live by His principles, but it really doesn't apply to my business life. King David even almost got swallowed there. It tells us that King David, when he looked at the prosperity of the wicked, it almost overwhelmed him. And then it says, until I saw the end. Until I looked ahead and realized that this was not the end. God was about to bring about His judgment, His ramifications. And until King David in Psalm 73 saw the condition in light of eternity, he almost wiped out himself, even though he was a very godly man. The Bible says, let us not become weary. It's easy to get weary when you're planting, because you don't see instant results. He says, we will reap if we do not faint. Springtime is when we sow. You don't reap until the fall, until the autumn. You don't see a farmer after he's planted his grain going every day and looking at the ground and going, oh, this is so awful. Every day, you know, digging it up to see if it's still there. He plants it. He waits. He waits for months until that stuff grows. Because he knows that not only will he reap what he sows, not only will he reap more than he sowed. That farmer knows what you and I need to remember, that we reap in a different season than we sow. Think of it in terms of life circumstances. When a young person, for example, many of you young people here, if you are making a decision in your life to maintain your sexual purity until you're married, you are going against the stream of today's society. The world says, throw caution to the wind, enjoy whatever you want, and then pay the consequences. But when you make the decision to say, no, I am going to maintain my virginity until I get married and give that gift to my spouse only, you will have a price to pay. You may have to pay ridicule from some of your friends. You will have to forego the pleasure. And let's face it, it is pleasurable. But if you set aside, if you pay that price, if you plant that seed of faithfulness now, you will reap a seed of a harvest, but in a different season. Years down the road, when you're married, when you marry somebody, when you can enjoy the wonderful benefits of faithfulness before you're married and faithfulness in your marriage, you will realize the amazing blessings of God that He's kept for you. You will have avoided all the weeds that grow as a result of sexual promiscuity. But you're not going to feel it now when you're a teenager. You plant now, you reap later. Same is true in finances. I know many people from every country who just can't make ends meet. People at every part of the economic bracket just can't make ends meet. Why? Because we're spending everything we make. It's like a little child. You give a child a dollar, what does the child do? They go to the store and they spend how much of it? All of it. Kid comes back, so how much did you bring back for mommy and daddy? Bring back? What, blah? No, money is to spend. Well, some of us have never got out of childhood. We assume that everything that comes to us, we're just supposed to spend, and then we spend more than that. And then we wonder why there's nothing for the future. There's nothing for the bank, nothing for the savings, nothing for the education, nothing for retirement. It's amazing how many people don't have that. Did you know the Bible says we're supposed to plan for the future? Savings is part of God's plan for us. But you don't save. You can't save. You can't take some of what I receive now and set it aside in a savings account. You can't do that without a concept of the law of the harvest. Because what I plant today, I don't reap until another season. Same concept. In Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, we read that Moses willingly gave up all the pleasures of Egypt. And you better believe there were lots of pleasures in the royal palace in Egypt. Lots of them. The text tells us that Moses willingly gave that all up. Why? How could he just walk away from it? You and I, most of the world would die for that kind of pleasure. If only I could live in Hollywood. If only I could be famous. If only I could be in a palace. If only I could have all that money. Moses had it all and he walked away from it. How? Verse 26 says he regarded his grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. He realized that the season he was in was not the season forever. And he was willing to plant seeds of faithfulness then because he wanted to reach a harvest of righteousness in the future. That's what made him make that decision. Many Christians I know refuse to give up any temporary pleasures in this life. We want it all now. And heaven too, of course. Dear friends, can I say something that might trouble you? I don't believe we can do it. I don't believe that God intended for us to have it all now and have it all later. I believe that God wanted us to learn the principles of self-sacrifice. He wanted us to learn the principles of planting now so we could reap later. And it's only people who learn delayed gratification in their sexuality, in their finances, in their relationships, in every area of life. It's people who learn that principle enjoy life far more living on less because, and also far more later because they have more. If we sow to the flesh, we reap destruction later. If we sow to the spirit, we reap eternal life later. We reap in a different season.
Let me illustrate it this way. I think I've shared this principle with you before. If I would guarantee that 1 week from now, I would give you $100,000, guaranteed. You saw the money, you put it in trust with somebody, it was yours a week from now. But to get it, you have to walk away from everything that you have right now. From your house, your cars, your clothes, your possessions, everything that you have. You have to walk away and just go be destitute. Not a penny, not a piastre in your pocket. No source of income for the week. How many of you would take the challenge and say, I could do that for a week? If I knew I was going to get $100,000 next Friday morning. How many would like to do that? What's that? Are you? Oh, yeah, you can come back to this. Oh, yeah. This is just a 1 week. Just 1 week, leave absolutely everything, and then come back, resume again a week later, but I'd give you $100,000. How many would put up a week of abject poverty, destitution for $100,000 next Friday? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, some of you are chicken. I know you would do it. I'd do it in a minute. Okay, now let me extend it. How many of you, if I promised $1 million, I don't have the money, but if I had somebody put up $1 million, okay, $1 million in trust, it was here, banker had it or whatever, and they would give it to you guaranteed in 3 months from today. $1 million, 3 months from today. If you would be willing to go to an Egyptian prison for 3 months. Some of you have already been in there and you say, it's not that bad, I can do that. 3 months in an Egyptian prison for $1 million, guaranteed. How many of you would do that? Okay. I'm not making plans for you, okay? Okay, some of you would do it. Okay, now hear me. The principle, the fact that you would be willing to do a week of destitution or 3 months of awful life in prison, why would you do something like that? The only reason that would motivate you to go through a period of destitution, of sacrifice, of giving something up, was because in your mind you would deem that what you would receive as a result of it would be worth it. As a matter of fact, it would be worth more than what you were giving, right? Correct? Basically, that is what God is saying when it comes to the principle of the harvest. If you are willing to plant now, understand you're not reaping now. You are reaping later. Something else is coming later. And if you understand that what God has later is more than $1,000, it's more than $1 million or $1 billion or $1 trillion, His riches far supersede anything that you and I can calculate in terms of material possessions. It makes the stuff that we think is important pale into insignificance. God says our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, and it hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. He's got that in store. But He's asking, will you endure a week? Will you endure 3 weeks? Will you endure 3 months? Will you endure this short life? Be willing to give up, be willing to plant in order for what I have in store for you. It comes in a different season. In verse 10, we find the fourth harvest principle. Paul says, therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, back up and see why it's therefore. Therefore, in light of these principles, in light of the fact that we reap what we sow, that we reap more than we sow, that we reap in a different season than we sow, therefore, in light of this, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family believers. In light of these harvest truths, God is saying, in light of this, sow, plant, give. Invest. Do something, dear friends, because unless you plant, you will not harvest. Unless you sow, you will not reap. We reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. But dear friends, we reap only if we do so. If you went to the bank this week, some bank in the midst of these economic uncertain times was advertising 10% interest. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You go to the bank Sunday morning or Monday morning, and you say, I read about your amazing interest program. Can I see a little more? The bank manager explains the program, shows compounding 10% interest in the program. You say, hey, this is pretty good. I'd like to be part of this program. Great, he says. How much would you like to deposit? And you say, deposit? What do you mean deposit? I just want to be part of the program. And he says, well, if you want the interest, you've got to make a deposit. And we say, no, sir. You're giving 10% interest, I understand. I want to open an account, and I want you to start putting interest into my account. And I'll watch. And if you do it well, if you're faithful at putting interest into my account, then I'll put a deposit in your bank. Well, he'd show you right to the door, of course. Either that or the insane asylum, because it doesn't work that way. If you want interest in the account, you have to make a deposit. If you want to harvest something, dear friends, you have to plant the grain. Because unless you sow, you do not reap. You know what? Some Christians treat God the same way that fictitious person treats the bank manager. They say, oh God, your program sounds pretty good here. 10,000% interest? The 30,000% interest? The law of the harvest? You multiply what we find. This sounds good, God. I'd like an open account with you. You start making the interest payments, and if I see you're doing okay, I might invest in your program. And God says, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You want to enjoy the interest that I have instituted into my program, into my world, then you make the deposit. I will look after multiplying it. That's the way God works. Dear friend, if you want to invest in God's program, if you want to experience the blessings, you can't do it. You can't do it unless you sow, unless you plant. I heard about a rich man, rich Christian man, apparently, who got to heaven, died, went to heaven, met St. Peter at the pearly gates, so you know it's a fictitious story here, and got in there and was anxious to find his mansion. He knew Jesus was preparing a mansion for those of us who die and go to heaven, and so he went and said, could I see my place? So Peter got the angel, and the angel got a nice golf cart, and they're driving down the golden streets of heaven looking for his place, and they pass these unbelievable mansions. Couldn't comprehend they could be so magnificent. Each one had an 18-hole golf course in the backyard. Ponds, palm trees, you name it. Unbelievable, lavish beauty. And he said, is that mine? He says, no, that's the church secretary's house up there. And is that mine, that one over there? No, that's the church janitor's. They're living in there now. And so he goes, well, is that mine? No, that's not yours either. Just hang on. So they're driving down, and they're watching all these mansions, and the 18 holes get down to 9-hole golf courses. And, well, is that mine? No, that's not yours. Stay with me. And pretty soon there's no golf courses, pretty nice mansions, just, you know, swimming pools. And then the swimming pools start to go, and they're getting smaller and smaller. Where's my mansion? He says, stay with me, sir, stay with me. And they're driving down, these mansions get smaller and smaller. After quite a while of frustration, they get to this shanty town. And they get to this place, and he drives up to this place, and it's got a couple boards nailed onto the side of this what appears to be a shack. And the angel says, sir, this is your mansion. The guy goes livid. He says, what do you mean? I had better than that on earth. You're going to let me, this is heaven? And the angel said, sir, you know God's intent is to bless his children, but that's all we could afford with what you sent us. Story isn't true. But you know what? It makes the point. Oh God, I want to harvest all your blessings. Great, plant. Oh God, I want to know answers to prayer. Good, plant.
Lord, I want to experience their love. Great. Plant. The law of the harvest works. But you've got to get involved. You reap only if you sow. It's your choice. God is in the business of bountiful harvest. He has never changed being that. The world operates with 2.5%, 10%, 15%. Wow, what a wonderful stock. 15% increase. God multiplies by 5,000, 10,000, 30,000. He's called us to join Him in sowing because He longs to share His bounty with us. Remember the principle, friends. We reap what we sow. Are you sowing in your life to the flesh, or are you sowing to the Spirit? Principle two, we reap more than we sow. Are you setting yourself up for lots of destruction and pain, or for abundant eternal life? Number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. Are you sacrificing the fabulous harvest blessings to come for temporal passing pleasures now? Or are you willing to wait out the long hot summer for the bounty of God's harvest? It's your choice. But remember, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Christians all over the world hear this and then do nothing about it. We reap only if we sow. Let me close with a couple verses. Proverbs 24, a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks and finds nothing. When it's planting season, friends, plant. Plant. Ecclesiastes 11:4, whoever watches the wind will not plant, whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Pastor, you can't expect me to give to God. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know the economic climate of the world. You don't know da-da-da-da-da. All these clouds of doubt, these clouds of uncertainty. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Do you believe the clouds or do you believe what God has said? It's your choice. Psalm 126, 5 and 6, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Why tears? Why crying? Because if all you've got is a little bag of seed, it's kind of hard to go over to the ground and dig a hole and take that precious seed, whatever it is in your life, that's something that means so much to you, to take that and plant it in that hole and cover it up and pat it and walk away and realize that your precious treasure is out of sight, out of control, out of your purview, out of your dominion. It's no longer yours. It's dead. It's dead to you. It's gone. Tears. It's no longer mine. It hurts to give stuff away. But he said, whoever carries his seed with tears and plants will doubtless return with songs, joy, bringing his sheaves with him. You want that joy to be yours, dear friend? God wants it to be yours. And that's why he wants you to remember the law of the harvest. Please join me in prayer. Father, we bless you for the truths that you give us through nature, to expound on in your word, that you reveal to us over and over again in the lives of others who set us examples of obedience. And we pray, Lord, that as we seek to let the seed of your word now take root in our hearts, we pray that your Spirit would water it and cause us to respond the way you're prompting our hearts to respond, so that we too can share in the harvest of righteousness that is to come. We bless you, Lord, for your love for us and for your care. May we know your liberty as we practice obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.